ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So in our last class, we have started how Gargiya, who came claiming that he knows Brahman, wanted to take up the role of a guru and approached Ajatashatru. But Ajatashatru was a greater real knower of Brahman, whereas Gargiya wasn't. But out of infinite love, sympathy, Ajatashatru humbly sat down, please teach me. But very gently, very lovingly, every time Gargiya says, this is how I contemplate. Do upasana of Brahman. He did not know that there was a lower aspect of Brahman, Saguna Brahma, and higher aspect of Brahma. And even in the Saguna Brahma, there are various qualities are there. But Ajatashatru, immediately, he says, I know a little better than you, without giving offense. It is an art. How to speak to the other person, teach him, even scold him, try to correct him without giving any offense. On the contrary, making the person feel that it is all done because of love for me. Ajatashatru becomes a samadarshana. Every Noira Brahman becomes a samadarshana, meaning I am not separate from this other person. The entire universe is myself. It is not different from me. That realization makes a jnani really feel that I love everybody. Because, as we have seen earlier also in this very Brihadaranyaka, that no, in the first chapter, fourth section, eighth mantra, that Atman, one's own true self, is nearer, dearer than anything else in this world. And a knower of that understands that the whole universe is my own self. There is nothing else excepting Brahman. So that is how we start the second chapter in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Gargiya was being given this knowledge. But through, like Bhagavan Krishna giving that marvelous knowledge through Arjuna to the whole of humanity. It is not meant only for Arjuna. Arjuna is only an X, a representative. Here also, Gargiya is just an X. But this greatest truth is being said, who am I? But in order to understand who am I have to be a fit person even to understand the teachings of the teacher. For that purpose, the student has to be taken step by step, like passing one class after the another, and then entering into the university, passing all the classes, and then only specialized training, PhD, can be given. Otherwise, the teaching becomes practically useless. So, this is how Gargiya came and he wanted to teach. But immediately Ajatashatru rewards him with 1,000 cows like Janaka giving to Yajnavalkya. And then Ajatashatru asked Gargiya, please teach me. And Gargiya started teaching. But every time Ajatashatru says, this upasana of yours is a bit limited. I know. A little bit better. I will teach you a better upasana. And like that, Gargiya starts
to teach 12 upasanas from mantra 2nd to mantra 13. In the end, Gargi understood that the person to whom I have come to teach knows much better than me, and he became very humble. This is proved through the Sanskrit Subhashita, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. The more we know, the more humble we become. How? Because the more we become learned, the more we understand how much more is lying hidden, of which I have no inkling. So always humility is a sign of learning. And Gargi, being very sincere person, though mistaken at first, he became very humble. And humbly he requests, like a student should request, Samit Panihi Gurum Upasasada. Everybody must approach a fit teacher with Samit Pani. Samit Pani indicates humility, complete self-surrender. Now Gargi approached Ajatashatru and requested him, please teach me, I am ready to learn. And Ajatashatru also understands, the student is ready. As Swami Vivekananda says, when the field is ready, the seed also is ready. It is an inviolable law in this world. When we are ready, then happiness comes. When we are ready, unhappiness, suffering also comes. For everything, readiness is necessary. And that is indirectly talking about Karma Siddhanta. So, he begged the king that you be the teacher. But the tradition was, all the time, Brahmins will be the teachers, Kshatriyas will be the students or anybody else. But then the king did not want to disrupt this sampradaya tradition. So simply said, I am happy you are ready. That's all I require. I will teach you. I don't require you to kneel down to make pranams and to sit low. That is the greatness of like Sri Ramakrishna. He never treated any of his disciples as less than himself. In fact, he worshipped them as Narayana. How do we know? Because when he loved Narendra so much, he, nobody else, was ready to receive love as Narendra was. What happens? This very often we do not understand. We are not even ready to accept the fact. When a person, like a vessel, which can only hold 1 kg, cannot hold even 1 gram, 101 grams of anything, it can only hold to its fullest capacity. So, even to receive love, one has to be prepared. And according to one's capacity only, love also can be received. And if somebody tries to give more love, then what is the capacity of the recipient to receive, then that person will break down invariably, like a child will break down when a heavy burden, more than a few papers, should not be kept on his head. And every human being understands that. So, when Narendra questioned, why are you loving me so much? Narendra did not understand the simple psychological fact that Sri Ramakrishna was not loving him more than others. Narendra was a capable instrument, recipient, who could really receive the greatest amount of love than other people. Neither others understood it, nor Narendra understand it, nor even Sri Ramakrishna understand it. So when Narendra questioned, why do you love me so much? Will your case become like the case of Jadabharata, a great sage, whose mind was in the end occupied only with the thought of a beloved worldly object, a deer. Sri Ramakrishna ran to the Divine Mother. He is questioning, Divine Mother, why do I love Narendra so much? Then the Divine Mother said, you are not loving Narendra. There is a boy, there is an object, he is called Narendra. You are not loving. You are seeing the greatest manifestation of Narayana in him. Then Sri Ramakrishna understood that which I love is Narayana. And this is the greatest truth the Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad proclaims both to Maitreyi as well as in the first chapter, fourth section, mantra 8. Beautifully illustrates, are you loving a sweet? No, you are not loving the sweet. You love the Atman. Atman alone is the source of happiness, but that happiness seems to be coming through the medium of the sweet. The moment the sweet stops becoming a medium, immediately you will reject the sweet and go to some other object which can reflect or which can act as an apt medium to convey to us our own nature. Every object acts like a mirror, but every mirror is covered with thick layers of dust, and that which has the largest, thickest amount of dust reflects the Atman, our own Atman. When we stand in front of that object acts like a mirror, and it can only reflect very poorly, and that Atman here is called Ananda. So, if we eat a third class sweet, we get very little Ananda. Plus, we may get stomachache also. But if we really love a higher object, a mother loves a child without putting any conditions, that is the highest expression of love we can get in this world. I think even that is not true. The real expression will be an enlightened teacher, a holy mother, how she loves her disciples, all of us, devotees. That is the measurement of true love. Even though she may love us 100% because she can see only Brahman, because each one of us in her vision reflect only her own self. But if somebody is not able to reflect, it is that person's defect, not Holy Mother's defect. How many of us can understand that? So this is going to be the teaching, that object which reflects us as close as we are, that becomes the greatest reflector of happiness, Anandam. So in waking state, we receive very little Anandam. But in dream, we can receive more Anandam. In deep sleep, we receive the greatest amount of Anandam, which is going to be the subject matter. Very soon we will see that. But what is important, every Sadguru loves all his disciples without any partiality. But the disciples become jealous, and that itself indicates their defect, inability, how much their minds are coated with dust, not understanding why is an enlightened teacher shows less love. He doesn't show less love. We reflect less of his true love, which is Ananda. This is the secret. So Divine Mother taught him, you see God. That means you see your own self, your own Atman. And in Narendra, that Atman is much more reflected than anybody else. And that is why I am loving you. Then how do we know this is the truth? Sri Ramakrishna's own words. After saying this, I see the greatest manifestation of Narayana in you. This sentence also is very meaningful, pregnant with tremendous meaning. What is the meaning? That means Narendra is more identified with Atman and less identified with his own body and mind. That is why when Narendra started coming, his eyes were turned upward, and Sri Ramakrishna remarked immediately that his drishti, his attitude is attuned to such a high level of truth. That is why he is not even conscious of his body, his mind, etc. That is why as soon as Narendra sits for meditation, immediately he becomes absorbed. Even if a cobra is crawling near him, he would not be conscious of it. We know that incident, that when he Narendra was trying to meditate along with some of his friends in a small room upstairs in his house. Then a cobra somehow entered and all the boys saw it and screaming they ran away. But Narendra was completely unaware of it. What do you think the cobra will do? It will not bite him because snakes used to crawl all over my body, Ramakrishna used to say. So when the snake finds no reflection in the mind of Narendra, I am frightened, I wish to kill you, I want to live, such thoughts are totally absent. And when such things are absent, just like when we encounter a stone, even if 100 stones are in our house, we don't hesitate to do what we want to do. But the moment one single conscious person is there, we have to control ourselves, how we are going to behave. And we also consciously or unconsciously react to that person's mental attitude, even though he or she is not expressing. So now Ajatashatru loved Gargia like that. Gargia understood. He wanted to become fit recipient. And Ajatashatru slowly added to the already existing good qualities, Daivi Sampath, which Gargia was already having, by slowly hinting to him, you meditate, do upasana of Aditya, the sun god, as Hiranyagarbha, in this particular quality. So this is going to be the development. And we will just do a little bit and analyze these 12 mantras, beginning from the 2nd to the 13th. So Ajatashatru said, please start your teaching. And Gargia said, that being Purusha, who is in the sun, we have to be very careful here to understand what Gargia was telling. So the sun is not a dead star, a molecules of some atoms filled with energy, light, heat, etc. No, he is the Purusha. He is the Devata, Aditya Devata, the sun god. And the sun is nothing but like our physical body, the sun that we see, we experience, which radiates heat and light, is just like our physical body. So I meditate upon that Purusha as a Brahman. Immediately Ajatashatru said, I also meditate upon the same Aditya Devata, but with higher qualities, as all surpassing, as the head of all beings, and as resplendent. Three particular qualities he adds. What would be the result? Whoever, not only Ajatashatru, not only Gargia, anybody who contemplates upon that being, who is seen in the sun, in the moon, in the lightning, in the fire, in the waters, etc., which we are going to see even in a shadow. They are all devatas. As I mentioned earlier, a devata is one without whose grace we will not be able to survive. So the panchadevatas, beginning from the earth, ending with space, akasha, the whole universe is their manifestation. They are sustaining the whole universe. And in the end, there is this law. The effect must always go back to its original cause. When ornaments are melted, they go back. They do not go back. They remain as gold. When all the furniture is broken down, they all manifest as pure wood. Or our attention is drawn. Previously, you were not thinking of wood. You are thinking this is a table, this is a chair, etc. But it is all nothing but pure wood. So this is the law, inevitable law. The effect must always merge, resolve back into its cause. Following, we can forestall what is going to happen. This meditation on the sun god as Hiranyagarbha, then the devata, Surya Devata, becomes identified with Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha becomes identified with Ishvara. Ishvara becomes identified with Nirguna Brahma. This is going to be the inevitable process, but Ajatashatru, as I said, is preparing Gargia for the highest, to make him a fit adhikari, a fit person to receive Shravana, Manana and Nididhyasana. So, whosoever meditates upon in this manner on the sun god as all surpassing, the head of all beings and resplendent. So, they also become all surpassing, head of all beings and resplendent. Those qualities become explicitly manifest in that upasaka. There is a beautiful anecdote. Once Swami Vishuddhanandaji, a disciple of Holy Mother, one of the greatest respected, loved sadhu in our order, he became like Holy Mother towards his disciples. His love towards his disciples was unparalleled. This Vishuddhanandaji, when he was young, he used to visit Dakshineswar. Once he went to Dakshineswar, and there he met an old gardener, even unable to stand up, crawling practically, but cleaning the pathway between the room of Sri Ramakrishna and Panchavati. And somehow, a special radiance was coming out of this gardener. Swami Vishuddhanandaji, being a fit person, he grasped that fact. So he went and asked, "Did you meet Sri Ramakrishna?" The gardener was at first hesitant, but something prompted him, and he also responded, "Yes, please tell me something that you experienced." The gardener started describing that, "You know, once I was having sleepless night, so my house is very near to this Dakshineswar temple, and I came out at night, and I was surprised to see a brilliant light coming from the direction of the Panchavati. This brilliant light has no resemblance. In those days, in the 19th century, remember, there was no such, even I think Petromax light probably was not there, not to speak of electric lights. So he proceeded slowly, and then from a distance he saw Sri Ramakrishna was sitting in Samadhi on the platform of the Panchavati, and then from his body was emanating this tremendous light, and it used to emanate from Sri Ramakrishna's body even much earlier. But after a long time prayer to the Divine Mother, "Mother, go inside, go inside." And his body became so-called dull, but those who had discerning eyes, they could see it. So, but here he saw, and then he was frightened a little bit. It must have uplifted this gardener's mind to a highest degree. So went home. Next day, Sri Ramakrishna met him. And then he knew what happened. He asked, "What did you see yesterday night?" The gardener, of course, confessed. Sri Ramakrishna said, and this is his way of bestowing his grace. He is showing his real form in the form of Chit and Ananda and Sat, especially Chit. Pure consciousness, pure light was his unbounded grace, unsolicited grace. "You meditate upon me in that form, as the form of light." And then every day, Sri Ramakrishna commanded, as he commanded Rishik, that every day after food, you go to the Tulasi Mancha, a platform where the Tulasi plant is growing. According to Hindus, Tulasi is none other than the wife of Narayana himself. So if we worship, if we hold on to this golap, then we will get the officer. So like that, you meditate upon this light, but you clean from the room because many devotees will be walking, and this would be your service. This will be your karma yoga. And faithfully, every day, this man carries out as long as possible, and that is how Vishuddhanandaji has met. Now the point is that Sri Ramakrishna was meditating on the Divine Mother as resplendence, and so his body, his mind became resplendent like the sun, and that light was incapable of staying inside. It was peeping out through every portal of the body. So that is what he showed. Sri Ramakrishna doesn't show this, but he showed this form, that resplendence. And this gardener must have meditated upon Sri Ramakrishna, because nothing like a personal experience. And that resplendence must have been manifesting in the gardener also. That is the purpose I gave, cited this example. So Vishuddhananji could understand that this man is not an ordinary man. He is somebody very special. So we got this story because of the grace of Swami Vishuddhananji Maharaj. Upon how many people Sri Ramakrishna had bestowed his grace in this form, God alone knows. Whenever I remember something, I will quote it. That is the real meditation for us, not these Upanishadic words we might forget. So Jatashatru started to enlighten, showing him the distinctions within Hiranyagarbha itself. King Ajatashatru recognized Gargia as an fit disciple, and then he started teaching. Thus, from verse mantra 2nd to 13, we get Saguna Brahma Upasanas, 12 Upasanas in 12 mantras, ending with the 13th. And we find at every stage, Gargia says, this is how I have been contemplating upon this particular aspect of nature. Ajatashatru declares that, now you can also add more, because I know what I am talking about. And so, expand the concept of Gargia and our concept of Hiranyagarbha. Why? Because Ajatashatru wanted to take Gargia to the highest Brahman. But for that, fitness has to be first acquired. And Ajatashatru was trying to make Gargia a fit recipient, because he found him very sincere and capable of becoming very fit recipient. This is going to be the development. So, yesterday also we talked, who is Hiranyagarbha? For that, I will summarize what I have spoken. Our body has got 11 organs, 5 of action, 5 of knowledge, and 1 mind, 11. So, 5 sense organs of knowledge are called inputs, and what to do with that input is called 5 organs of action, called output, and the whole thing is one composite made to be one composite unbroken vritti by the mind. So, all these 11 organs have their own presiding deities. So, as an example, I have an eye, you have an eye, every jiva has an eye, and that is a individual manifestation of the Adhishtatru Devata called the sun god. So, what is the sun god? He is the totality of the power of seeing in every jiva in the form of the eyes, a organ called eye. And the same sun god also must make us experience the power of seeing through the power of light. As I said, light means, so for the ears, akasha, ether is the light, etc. For the mind, it is the moon. So, these all the Adhishtatru Devatas of all these 11 organs consisting of our individuality is called Hiranyagarbha. All the Adhishtatru Devatas combined is called Hiranyagarbha. That is how we have to understand. So, we will just take up one sample mantra, see how it has to be understood. And then, we will come to the Ajatashatru's teaching. At every stage, after the 12-month upasanas, Gargia tried to teach to Ajatashatru. Every time Ajatashatru says that I know better and corrects and expands his existing knowledge. At the end of the 13th, Ajatashatru asked, don't you know something more about Brahman? Etavanhi, only this much? Gargia understood implication. I will sit down and you take a higher place. I will be your disciple, student. You will be my teacher. You teach me. and I shall learn. I will sit as an obedient Shishya. There afterwards, Ajatashatru teaches that Hiranyagarbha is not the ultimate Brahma. Towards the end of this chapter, again, from the, I think, mantra 16 or 15, the king teaches about the Nirguna Brahma. How does he do that? So when Gargya humbly requests him, accept me as your student, Ajatashatru did not disregard the sampradaya, tradition. He said, you have said, you are ready, you have accepted me as your teacher, for me it is more than sufficient. So he takes him by hand, showing him, not to, demeaning him, by asking him to follow him behind him, or to sit in front of him, showing respect, and then he leads him to a sleeping man, and then first he calls it out by some names of the Pranadevata, and then the man did not wake up. Then Ajatashatru shakes him many times, and at the severest shaking, the man suddenly wakes up. That is the incident. But taking that as an example, Ajatashatru asks Gargya, where was this Jivatma when he was in that deep sleep state? Deep sleep state means he was not in the waking state, he was not in the dream state, he was in the deep sleep state. But even though he did not know, the world doesn't exist, but one Devata is there, without whom life will be dead, Pranadevata. So the names of Pranadevata were called. What is that calling? O Pranadevata, are you the Brahman, Supreme Brahman, Parabrahman? So when this person touched the body, the gross body replied as it were, I am not the Parabrahman, by not responding. When he shook him a little more, the dream, the mind, the subtle body responded as if, I am not the Paramatma. And when he shook him, the deep sleep, the person, he was experiencing, he has merged himself for the time being. That is why it is called deep sleep, because that is going to change after some time. But it indicates, what is that state? There is no bodies, there is no karma phala. There, a person is resolved back into his true self, even though unconsciously. That is going to the development, but first we will see what the mantras are there. So the next part is a very profound teaching, of course following the same footsteps that we had followed in the Mandukya Karika, especially following Gaudapadacharya. So we get 12 Saguna Brahma Upasanas on Hiranyagarbha through the medium of different objects like the sun, the moon, the lightning, the wind and the fire, etc. We will see that. So this is going to be the methodology. So first of all, we have seen Gargya says, I meditate upon Aditya, the Purusha in Aditya. Very important for us to keep this in mind. Whenever Gargya says, I meditate on this Purusha, there is a living Devata. In us, it is only individual Jiva, but there is Samasti Jiva, as it were in a special form, are manifest in the sun god. And that sun god is taken as a alambanam, as a support. And just as we take a small rounded stone, saligrama or shivalinga, because without this support, we cannot think of anything. Remember when Raja in Jaipur challenged Swami Vivekananda, why do Hindus worship idols? He never understood that an idol is only an alambanam, but what the devotee is really meditating upon, thinking upon, praying to, is not an idol. Nobody will worship, oh stone, please come and save me. A photograph or a pratika, a symbol, a cross, an om, etc., or a Sri Chakra, it doesn't matter. They are only supports. So even this Purusha in the sun god is only a support. No doubt, he is the Adhishtatru Devata of everybody's power of seeing in the form of eye. But higher than that is this Purusha. I meditate upon him, taking him as a support, as Hiranyagarbha, Saguna Brahma. This is what Gargya wants to convey to Ajatashatru. Then Ajatashatru, he says, what you have done is marvelous. You have practiced, you developed concentration, you have succeeded in thinking of Aditya in one aspect. I will add another three aspects to it. So, your knowledge, your upasana of Aditya Devata will be much more effective than anything. So, three qualities. Adishta, Murtha and Raja. Adishta means that who is prominent. If you see our Prime Minister Modi among all the people, you know, everybody is looking at him. Of course, nobody is looking at me. And if I am not looking, not at Modi and somebody else, they will chide. What are you looking at? So this is called Aditya. Adishta means what? Prominent. Superior is the main important. Pradhana, Mukhya, Sreshta. Murtha means Pujya, Pujaniya. There are some qualities. Because without the sun, Aditya Purusha, life is impossible. Pujaniyaha, Adaraniyaha, Vandaniyaha. So this is the Visheshanam, Murtha. And then Rajan means he is resplendent, filled with light. Not only he is filled with light, he is lighting up the whole universe, day and night. So Prakasha Swarupaha. These are the three special qualities. Now, you meditate on these three qualities which I had mentioned just now. What are they? Adhishtatva, Murthatva, Rajatva qualities. On that, Aditya Purusha, Aditya Devata as Hiranyagarbha. This is how I meditated. Why do I say I meditated? Because Ajatashatru had already crossed. He realized Saguna Brahma, just like Sri Ramakrishna, realized the Saguna Brahma Kali, and Kali took him to her real aspect, which is called pure consciousness. So at the end of 4 months or 5 months at Dakshineswar, Sri Ramakrishna said his experience, first experience of the pure consciousness. He was an adept in meditating upon Mother Kali. Then suddenly Mother said, this is my second nature. My first nature is pure consciousness. Then waves of consciousness came like the tsunami waves. And I struggled to remain conscious, but soon they made me unconscious. And Swami Sharadananda describes this very graphically. We must remember that Prakasha Swarupa is called Raja. And I have also attained the results. And not only me, if you contemplate, you will also get the same results. And anybody contemplates on Hiranyagarbha as Adhishtatva, Murthatva, Rajasva, Rajatva, he will also become most important person and most venerated, respected, worshipful person, and he will be endowed with tremendous splendor. As I mentioned, behind every saint's head, a halo is drawn indirectly to prove that he has become light. So Moses saw Bhagavan as the light in the burning bush. If one meditates upon Hiranyagarbha as adorable, one will become adorable. If one meditates upon Hiranyagarbha as brilliant, he becomes brilliant. And if he meditates upon as the light, he becomes also a source of light. So, one meditates upon Hiranyagarbha, he becomes effulgent Raja. These are the what is called visible results. But along with these visible results, if somebody wants something higher, he becomes a fit person to take up the next step, which is called Shravana, Mahavakya Shravana. So this is going to be the same from 2nd to 13. We have seen the second one. So we will go to the other ones. The second upasana is called moon, chandra, upon which Hiranyagarbha is meditated. And then he says that there are visheshanams, three visheshanams are brihat, pandaravat, somaraja. Chandra, that is chandra devata, the god manifesting at the samashti of all these three. He has to be taken as a support, and upon him you superimpose Hiranyagarbha, and you will also become like chandra. You become brihat, all pervading, pandarvat, you become pure, your mind becomes pure, shuddha, and somaraja, you become a great enjoyer of bliss. Somarasa, you must have heard. So there is a plant supposed to be called soma plant, and that soma plant rasa, the juice, when it is kept in a particular way for some time, it becomes liquor, and it gives the highest happiness known to the people. In yajna they offer, and they drink it as prasada. They also enjoy it. So one who meditates upon this chandra devata, not the moon, but the devata, the purusha, whose manifestation is the chandra, moon. So he becomes what? Brihat. That means he becomes very famous. He will have plenty of friends, admirers, because like chandra gives happiness, this person gives happiness to everybody, and his mind becomes innocent, pure, without any guile, guileless. Sri Ramakrishna used to say about Niranjan, my Niranjan has no anjan, no guile, and he becomes Somaraja, a source of bliss. And whoever comes into the presence of this contemplator of Chandra Devata with these qualities, he will also give the same effect like the Chandra Devata to the people who are nearby to some extent. Of course, everybody will not be the same. According to their receptive capacity, the person will get these qualities. So, Ajatashatru also gives one more result actually, besides those three, Anna Samruddhi, because moon is the producer of all the oshadhis, all the health-giving plants, the sustaining plants, food plants. Therefore, this person, he will have, because he is contemplating, he will get plenty of anna. Not only that, he will also have the capacity to enjoy. Many people have possess these things, but their health may not permit them to enjoy. But this person, he will be enjoying it. Then the next quality taken is vidyut, lightning. These are all natural phenomena. Therefore, in the olden days, this natural phenomena is converted into very effective means of progressing in spiritual life in the form of contemplations. So vidyut, as we mentioned earlier, contains tremendous amount of power. One, lightning, if we can harness, and it will give sufficient electricity and meets energy needs for the whole world, maybe for 1 year. So, Ajatashatru presents one glory, that is called Tejasvi. One who meditates upon lightning, he also glows. He is called Tejasvi. Inner Tejas, inner splendor comes out. So, taking the lightning as support, one must meditate. This quality of giving light belongs to Hiranyagarbha really, because every Adhishtatra Devata is only a manifestation of this Hiranyagarbha. Whoever contemplates, he becomes Kantiman, and then meditate upon the Akasha, space. Then what happens? Two qualities are added, Purnaha and Apravarti. Purnaha means he fills up everything, like Akasha is all-pervading. This person also becomes identified with everything. That is called all-pervading. And then Apravarti means that Akasha doesn't seem to be doing any action. So Akriyavan, he doesn't do anything. But without Akasha, no action can take place. So Kriyarahitaha. And this person becomes not only Purna, he becomes, without doing anything, he obtains the greatest peace greatest happiness, greatest bliss. So, another few contemplations are there, which we will talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagat Gurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.